Ari Rosenbaum here with another fun-filled episode of that 401k podcast. This week's topic, we're going to talk about how plan providers should curb certain behaviors. First things first, go to that 401ksite.com for further information on all your events, on all of my events, actually, not your events, my events. June 7th, Yankee Stadium. As this episode drops, we'll be in Arlington, Texas, and hopefully that'll be a great event. But June 7th, Yankee Stadium, special guest Jim Leyritz. Go to that 401ksite.com for further information on how you can sign up for that event. $100 gets you in, stadium tour, lunch, meet and greet with Jim Leyritz. Please go to that 401ksite.com and we'll think about events for 2025. I was thinking D.C. and Anaheim. Maybe I'm going to do Anaheim and Atlanta. I don't know. We'll figure it all out. I was thinking about Atlanta, and that was one of our well-attended events. And right now, in terms of attendance, we're drawing better in Arlington the second time than the first time, which is great because the first time was pre-COVID. So looking forward to that. And as you all know, topic at hand, one of my favorite shows of all time is Curb Your Enthusiasm. Sometimes I go back and forth Dallas will always be my favorite as a, you know, growing up as a kid. And, of course, you know, Seinfeld and Curb. And, I think really right now, I think Curb is more favorite show. Well, more favorite. I enjoy Curb a lot more than I enjoy Seinfeld, just in terms of the clips. I think the reason that I love Curb so much is that I feel like Larry David, I really kind of like Larry's character in terms of the complaints. The thing I don't like about Larry is the hypocrisy of a lot of points that he makes. The example is there was an episode where he was all irate that the doctor just took out a drink out of his fridge without asking, and then he was at the Funkhauser's house and he got a drink and he got food and all that kind of stuff. So as a retirement plan provider, there are certain things that really annoy me about other plan providers, and there are really some behaviors that, you know, you might want to curb as a plan provider. One of the behaviors I think you really need to curb that just annoys the heck out of me is selling through networking. When I first started being on LinkedIn way back when, I was told by a law firm partner who didn't draw any business that being on LinkedIn was advertising. He never drew a dime of business. He left the firm to go somewhere else pretty quickly. He just had a really bad idea of what social media is. In my opinion, social media, if you're doing it correctly, it's not advertising. It's building your reputation, developing relationships. And, you know, some of my best relationships in the retirement plan business are started with, you know, connections on LinkedIn. As an ERISA attorney, I've never tried to sell directly to the people I connected with. You know, if they ever needed an ERISA attorney, they're going to, you know, call me. Mainly because, you know, I've probably sent them so many newsletters and so many articles over the years. And, that's really how it starts. I don't need to ask them who their ERISA attorney is. If something breaks with a plan sponsor that they deal with, or they need a help or whatever, they're gonna reach out to me because, you know, I've developed a reputation as somebody who knows a thing or two about ERISA and is going to do it at a reasonable cost. While I don't sell directly, you know, a lot of people don't feel that way. You know, to me, networking is about growing a garden, planting seeds and letting it grow. And there's nothing more annoying than getting a LinkedIn request from, you know, a financial advisor who doesn't understand what I do and who my networking group is. And they don't want to learn anything new about the 401k plan business. They just want to sell me financial advice. So listen, I handle my own money. I handle my own investments. And when you think about it, if I did need help with my financial background, you know, if I needed help, you know, help, if I needed help with my financial work. You know, hopefully I'll be worth 10 times what I'm worth now. Maybe then I'll call on an advisor. But who am I going to, you know, rely on? Am I going to rely on somebody just, you know, connected through LinkedIn, or I'm going to farm it out to somebody that I've known for a very, very long time? And really, I have so much, you know, I wouldn't say it's PTSD in dealing with LinkedIn connections, but I do go through the invitations, and I will sift through and I will eliminate certain occupations. Website builders, law firm marketing companies, search engine optimization companies. You know, of course, the running joke would be a shame if I found out they were actually an ERISA plan sponsor that, you know, needed help. But, you know, my feeling is that people will know what you do based on what you put out there. People aren't going to hire you 5 minutes after connecting through LinkedIn. You know, I always tell the story, one of my best friends in the business, it started out when he when he you know, saw some stuff that I was posting in the LinkedIn groups when that used to get traction, and he reached out. And you know, I didn't try to sell him anything. We've done a lot of work together over the years, and you know, I always say, you know, he got me on the phone because he wanted to make sure I wasn't a maniac. I think that your worst mistake is just trying to go for that quick sale. It just doesn't work at all. Next on the hit list, being a schnorrer. And what is a schnorrer? It's one of my favorite words in Yiddish. It's a beggar or sponger, but I use it for the word cheapskate. I think the first time I ever heard it was when I was a kid. I was 7 years old, and we were going to Mystic Seaport. It was the day after Thurman Munson died. I remember that day vividly. And in those days, the Connecticut Turnpike, it felt like every, you know, 10 miles, somebody was looking for a nickel, or I think it was a dime or 15 cents or whatever it was. And my mother called them schnurrers. In Connecticut, they're a bunch of schnurrers. And I try not to be a schnurrer. I don't like – one thing I – don't like to do is I never haggle over price. If I got a TPA that I'm working with, a plan sponsor client, I don't try to haggle to save a couple hundred bucks. If I, you know, refer work to a TPA, saving the plan sponsor 200 bucks is not something that, you know, I don't want to get one over on anybody. I want to be treated the way I treat people. Like, for example, I do a lot of framing of autographs and whatnot, and I go to this local place by me, which reminds me I got to pick up a Igor Shesterkin picture that's autographed. But Jimmy, Long Island Picture Frame, he does these 8x10s. He charges 60 bucks to get it framed. And that's it. You know, that's all it's going to be. If he says it's 50 bucks, that's it. A perfect example in terms of, with the way I run events, as people know, is with that 401k conference, it's 100 bucks a person. And of course, I do things. If you got multiple advisors in the same firm, I'll you know, knock a couple bucks off here and there. I'm trying to get people in to attend the shows. And one of the reasons I charged $100 is not because I want to make money on admission, but it's to guarantee, it's to guarantee attendance. I did a lot of speaking engagements for the 401k recon events, which were great events back in the day when they did it regionally at Maggiano's and whatnot, and it was great sponsoring it because it, you know, helped me learn how to speak and present and all that kind of stuff and network and all that. And one of the problems was when you had a free event and, you know, people sign up, they just blow off the event if they have something else to do. So the reason I charge 100 bucks is not to make money off the admission, but it's to guarantee your attendance. So again, I usually charge 50 bucks a head if it's multiple people at a conference. And I remember in Miami, I think it was Miami, some advisor knew the area, wanted to bring him and his assistant. I said, okay, 100 bucks, two people. And, a day before the event, you know, he's trying to cancel. And, you know, the way it goes at the ballpark, the Miami Marlins charge you for the food. That's a head count. You can't really tell them the day before, oh, take two people out of the equation. And the problem with this advisor was he couldn't stop asking me for a refund. And he says, aren't you going to give me a refund? And I said, you know what? The whole point of charging the admission was for you to show up. There was no refund policy. If you look at that 401ksite.com, there is no refund policy. You pay the $100, that's your admission. It's not refundable. But he was more interested in getting the $100 back than ever developing a relationship with me. So, you know, listen, probably his clients are going to be the ones who are going to chisel me on my $350 fee for a plan amendment. I just, you know, I don't need people like that in my life, and I don't need to keep his $100. The $100 won't make me or break me. He'll just put this guy on the list. And, you know, like I said, it's a very, very short list of people I won't work with. Next on my hit list in terms of bad behaviors, speaking badly of other providers and people. One of the problems that I have was I worked as a TPA, top TPA attorney for a TPA, of course, for about 5 years. The joke was, I think within a year, I wanted to leave. At one point, I went to interview for a competing TPA on Long Island. It was a good TPA that had been purchased by a software company, and as a result, they were running away a lot of the good people from there. One of our top salespeople we got from them, our new actuary, who was fantastic, still is fantastic. He works someone else now there. And they ran away a lot of good people. But I interviewed there. I thought, oh, wow, maybe they'll try to get me. You know, we're losing, they're losing to us. Maybe we'll get the top attorney. And anyway, I met the guy who was put in charge by the software company. And within 5 minutes, he's talking badly of the salesperson that I work with. And he started insulting my new salesman. And I just thought that was kind of classy. Classless, I'm sorry. And there was it reminded me that anytime you talk badly about people, and sometimes I'm a victim of that. Well, not a victim. Sometimes I violate that by talking badly about the people at my old law firm. But there was the story when Lorne Michaels first left Saturday Night Live. He got replaced by a producer called Gene Demanian. The show lasted, she lasted about 12 episodes before she got fired. And Al Franken, who was part of Lorne's crowd and had been passed over for the job of executive producer because he was insulting the head of NBC, and he was attached to Lorne, so he didn't get the job, and Gene did. And he went on Saturday Night Live, where, you know, he basically said, I don't want to be seen as being crude to Gene because it would make him look bad. You know, listen, I've said some bad things about my old law firm and managing attorney, and I really don't regret saying them. I just regret that, you know, people may think badly about me because I did. And that's, you know, when you're dealing with competitors, I don't speak badly about the other risk attorneys out there. I think they do a fine job. I'm not interested in saying anything bad about the folks out there. I once had to sue a TPA client of mine because they screwed me on $40,000 worth of billing. But you'll never see me mention that TPA firm ever again. It's just because I don't need to. I mean, I'm sure you could Google it and see which firm I sued, but it's not something that, you know, I need to talk about because it just, again, makes me look bad. And I think it's important that you don't look bad as well. Next on my pet peeve list is the email you can't unsubscribe from. And one of my marketing plans since day one was, you know, I email these two newsletters a month. One is to financial advisors and plan providers. The other one's to everybody else, including financial advisors and TPAs and all that stuff. And, you know, every month, less than 1% will say they no longer want my emails. There's this really click, really easy unsubscribe button. It's kind of annoying when you send out the emails and all of a sudden someone's like, can you please unsubscribe me? This is spam. I'm like, geez, I have this really quick unsubscribe button. Instead of busting my chops, you can just click and that's it. But whatever it is, I think any reputable email company has a easy unsubscribe button. But one of my annoyances these days is, dealing with these people seeking out business, and they're sending you emails, and there's no way to unsubscribe, or they'll just say if you don't want this email, please respond. I won't even give them that satisfaction. So they'll send 7-8 emails. But, I'll let them send emails until the end of time with the follow-ups. And, I'll just delete them. But, the joke is we no longer draft people into the armed services. So why do we draft people to get these incessant emails that they can't unsubscribe to? Next, it's business. It's not personal. If you're a plan provider, you're hired to be fired. I've had to fire plan providers. It's not fun. Again, I have this TPA in Florida that, I canned from a plan. And, they took offense to it. They took things personally. And as a result, I had to file a complaint with the DOL. But they took it personally. I think that you have to understand you're hired to be fired. I know a good TPA out here in Long Island. He's been fired before, with clients who went to a payroll provider TPA and hated it so much, and they came back and, he didn't berate them. He didn't attack them when they left. It's because it's not personal. There are a lot of reasons to get fired and whatever. And, it is what it is. You're hired to be fired and you can always be rehired. Look at Billy Martin. He was hired and fired as Yankees manager every, five times. And, getting fired isn't fun, but you really shouldn't act like a jerk. Just accept it, move on, and, if things don't work out with the new provider, maybe get rehired because, you act in a certain classy way and people will remember that. Last but not least, is another pet peeve of mine, wasting a plan provider's time and wanting them to work for free. I have an open door policy with financial advisors, TPAs, and whatnot. They'll ask me a question via phone email. I just had a client ask me a question and want me to send the bill, and it was like a 5-minute question. I'm like, I'm not gonna do that. I like to pay things forward. A lot of times, you help people out, you never get any business out of it. And there are a lot of people out there where it may have helped a little bit, but you got so much more in return. So it kind of evens out. And I have to say that, over 14 years, I could probably count on less than one hand of the plan providers out there who I think wasted my time. And usually, the two in particular that I remember is they proceeded to say that they were going to push these plan reviews. They wanted me to do one for free. And of course, you never got another plan review out of them. So, they want free work. Never give away free work. If you give away free work, they think there's no value to what you do. Many years ago, my sister, who I thankfully haven't talked to in a long time, her boyfriend, wanted me to do the tax return for free or whatever, and I said no. She could use my tax software and knock out his tax return. I'm not doing it for free. Because, I do it for free, he'll see no value in it. And thankfully, years later, I don't do their taxes, and you got to draw the line. That's how I feel. I don't charge my wife for doing her taxes. I don't charge my kids for doing their taxes. But I'm of the belief that your time is worth money. The idea that they're going to promise you future work for free work now, I've never seen it pan out. And again, the two advisors I think of, oh, yeah, we're going to push a lot of these retirement plan tune-ups. do one for free. You do one for free, you never hear back from them. Recently, I would say last couple of years, I did hear from one of those advisors, and he wanted me to do a, you know, like a conference or whatever, and I'm like, no, I didn't hear, you know, I didn't respond, and that was the end of it. You know, I'm stubborn, and that's how it is. Your time is valuable. My time is valuable. I don't mind helping, again, people out with questions and all that. I just don't like doing stuff for free. And when I mean doing stuff for free, sending an email, answering a phone call with a question, that's not work. What's work is, you know, drafting a plan amendment or a plan review, something where there's something of substance or substantive. And I just think that, you know, that that's something, working for free is just, again, like I said, it's just not going to pay off for you. That's just, you know, your time and your work has value. And if they get it for free, they assign no value to the work that you do. And that's how I feel. And again, I'm stubborn. And, you know, so my sister didn't help me get any tax returns that year. And, you know, that's life. And no family member ever got me a client. But that's a whole nother story. I got them all on my own. But that's how I see it. And that's it for this week's podcast episode. Hope you tune next week. Hope you tune in next week. And hope you sign up. Go to F1KSide.com for further information. Yankee Stadium. Friday, June the 7th. Special guest, 1996 World Series hero Jim Leyritz. And that's it. Again, hope you tune in for another fun-filled episode of that F1K podcast.